Guys, the church is here.
What?
MPC, welcome! We're so glad that you came to worship with us today. So glad that you are here. We've been in a series, A Tale of Two Kingdoms, studying the kingdom of God in Jesus' life and message. And today, on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the arrival of the King. That day in which the people gathered outside of Jerusalem, they laid down palm branches to make a royal road for Jesus, and they cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Let us now worship our one and only King.
morning, everyone. Pastor Jessica here. I'm so excited to see all of those MPC kids waving their palm branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And we are going to hear more about that story this morning. So kids, I want to welcome you forward. Come close. Come on in for our kids' message this morning. I'm going to have some pictures to share with you this morning for our story time. So you're going to want to come in real close to see them. This week is a special week for our church and for the church around the world. This week we celebrate Holy Week. Now, Holy Week starts with Palm Sunday, which is today, where we remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem and waving palm branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And that was such a happy day. It was a great day of celebration. But later in the week, we celebrate and remember a day called Good Friday. And that was a sad day. That was a solemn day because that's a day when we remember Jesus dying on the cross. Now, a lot of people worship Jesus as King on Sunday, and then Jesus did something unexpected when he went to the cross and died. So today we're going to talk about how Jesus was unexpected, the things that he did, but how that is actually good news for us. So this morning, I want you to think about someone famous and what a famous person might do or have. What's something that a famous person might do or have? I brought some examples for you. A famous person might have a really fancy car. They might drive in a limousine and have someone who's driving them around. A famous person might have a lot of money. They might be very, very rich. And they might use that money to buy things like fancy food. This is a picture of lobster, which I don't really like lobster. I'd probably rather have fruit snacks. But some famous people like lobster. So famous people might eat really fancy foods. Famous people might also dress in a really fancy way. They might wear a tuxedo or a ball gown. Famous people also, they might have bodyguards watching them. This picture of some bodyguards here, like the president might, he has bodyguards watching him. Now, in Jesus' day, they didn't have bodyguards, but people who were famous in Jesus' time, they would have guards and soldiers watching over them to keep them safe. And in Jesus' time, they might not have had tuxedos or fancy clothes, but they would have maybe had a crown that they would have worn or jewels. And in Jesus' time, they didn't have fast cars, but they did ride on horses that were fast and powerful. But Jesus, he did what was unexpected. He didn't have fancy clothes. He wasn't rich. He was born in a stable, we know. And Jesus, he didn't ride on a fast or powerful horse. In fact, we know Jesus rode on a donkey on Palm Sunday. He rode on a donkey, which is a gentle creature. Jesus was humble. And even though he was humble, people still recognized Jesus as king. And they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. But Jesus was not your typical king. A couple days after Palm Sunday, Jesus took a towel and he washed his disciples' dirty, stinky feet. He washed them because he came to serve, which was very unexpected. And then a day after that, Jesus allowed himself to be taken and to die on a cross. Now, this was very unexpected. But when Jesus died on the cross, it allowed us to be forgiven of our sin and the bad things that we do. When Jesus died on the cross, it meant that death was defeated. When Jesus died on the cross, it meant that He gave us life. Life with him now and forever. So though Jesus didn't do what we would have wanted, what people would have thought, Jesus actually did something even more amazing by giving us hope. And you'll hear more about that next week, so stay tuned. But let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you that he came to serve, that he was a humble king, that he died for us. God, we pray that you would help us to have hearts that are thankful for all that you have done for us. And help us, God, to serve you and serve others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jessica, thank you so much. And we appreciate it. Kids, we're so glad that you are with us as well. Welcome, Jen Arnold, to
Hello.
The set. I finally get to be here. I was sneaking on earlier during the pregame show.
I thought, you're not preaching today, are you?
No, much more relaxed. I'm chilling. Who is preaching today, Jen?
I don't know. Someone that was not running in and out of
the pre-show. No, maybe. I wonder if that was you. Everybody, I want to let you know things that are happening this week, things that are going on. I mean, this Holy Week is not going to be business as usual, is it, Jen?
It is going to be a very unique Holy Week for sure.
And rather than thinking about, oh my gosh, what a bummer to not be able to come together for Easter, which is a pretty big bummer, we are thinking about how to make the best of this moment and how to just have an incredible Holy Week at home. And so we want to let you know some things that we are invited to. The first of all is we're continuing to do Coffee Talk. We've been renewed for a third season. This has been a smash hit. Coffee Talk is every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. A different pastor comes on, and we do a little devotional, some interaction, some prayer, and it's just been wonderful to have you on there. And so this week, all of our Coffee Talks are going to be have a Holy Week theme to them, and so we would love to have you join us for that. So that's on Facebook, 10 o'clock Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. Also, Maundy Thursday, I've heard from many people, is their favorite service of the year. We are going to be doing a Maundy Thursday service, and it's going to be a live stream from right here. So that story time that is happening is still going to be at 7, mm-hmm. But then 7:30 is going to be the Maundy Thursday service, and so we'd love to have you tune in right where you are, either the website or on Facebook, and you can tune in for Maundy Thursday at 7:30. And then finally, Easter. We will be continuing our Easter service. We're going to be live streaming Sunday at 10 a.m., and we'll be having music, both traditional and contemporary music, as part of that, assuming that all goes well and there's no technical glitches for that. So we'd love to have you join us for our 10 o'clock Sunday service. In addition to that, I'm told this church has a tradition of having a sunrise service.
You know, I've actually never been to it.
You've never been there. Your husband is there every year.
He is there every year, yeah. And I'm at home with our girls because it's Easter.
Yeah. So Jeff is going to be doing a sunrise service. He's going to be mm-hmm. broadcasting from an undisclosed location.
That's very mysterious.
Very mysterious. At 6:30, it's going to be really fun because you're not going to know where he is, and it's dark, and then the sun will rise, mm-hmm. and then... surprise, mm-hmm. now you know where Jeff is. And so that's a sunrise service at 6:30, and you're mm-hmm. invited to join us for that. That'll just be on Facebook Live. And then at 10 o'clock, the Easter service will be both the website and Facebook Live. And so we hope that you'll mm-hmm. join us for that. By the way, if there's any questions, I have my phone here. There's a little bit of a delay on when the questions get to me. But any questions about that or the things Jen's going to explain, you can send the questions in the comments,
and we'll try to answer them.
We'll try.
I'm just excited because I really think this is my very first year to be at the sunrise service because I can do it from home.
Yeah.
So I can
there
be
you go.
At home
pajama
with our
sunrise
girls
service.
And be yep. at the 6:30 pajama service.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited about that. So you're just going to read comments and like respond to them? Like well, you're going to respond
one comment,
or you're going to text them back?
Like
the
one
answer.
Question I've already gotten from Jeff Bergman says, is Reverend Pound still preaching? I've signed into several of these virtual streaming, but I've not seen him preaching. Please advise. Thanks. So is
yeah,
Reverend Pound?
I wonder if he's watching. I
hope
know.
He's watching.
If you're watching, hi, Kevin. Kevin,
we miss you,
retired.
Kevin. Yeah, he retired.
He retired.
And so he... He may be.
So all you have is this awesomeness.
So that's
right
all you
here.
Got. Sorry. Yeah.
But there are, Matt, a bunch of stuff happening this week for students and kids and families.
Yeah.
So you want to hear about it?
Yeah, please.
All right. For students, student ministry, we have Hang 10 on Wednesday and Crave tonight for high school. And also Thursday night, we will have our high school D group. Leo, actually from Ghana, was the speaker last week.
Wow.
So that was pretty fun. Yes. And this week, that will be again on Thursday night. So check with your small group leaders to get those information and Zoom link from them. And then for our kids and families, we have several things we're giving you to do at home this week. We're going to continue, like Matt said, our story time every night at 7, Monday to Friday. And this week, it's going to be all Easter stories. So that's going to be really fun, all Easter stories. And then we're going to put on our website tomorrow three other additional things for you to do at home this week. One, we're going to take our Sunday morning experience that's there right now for today, for after this service, for Palm Sunday, but we're going to take our Easter one from next Sunday and give it to you early in the week so that we would encourage you to do that during the week this time from home, our family experience. And then we are going to give you a virtual egg hunt. We had to cancel our drive-through egg hunt here at the church, so we're going to give you one that you can do at home. There's going to be some photographs of eggs that we have hidden around the church, and so you'll be able to look for those and count them. And then we also are going to give you a scavenger week for Holy Week that will have you looking for items in your house or maybe your yard as a way to tell the story of Jesus' life. And so all that we're going to have on our website by noon tomorrow. So check tomorrow for all of those things. And then next Sunday, just so that you can be prepared and get really excited for this, you have kids at home, so I know you're going to want to do this.
Yeah,
but we have something new called Easter Jam. And so next Sunday, you'll get up in your pajamas at 6:30 for the undisclosed location service, and then 10 o'clock for the live stream service. But then when all that is done, we have Easter Jam for families. And this is not only just for elementary kids, but it's families of all ages. So you have middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students home. Easter Jam is an experience for your whole family. We're going to have it on our website this week, so you can download it, get the things that you need. But it will have games, activities, some things that you pause the video to do and then go and do together, come back, and tell the Easter story in a really fun way. So Easter Jam next week on Sunday. So all those things we'll have detailed out for you on our website, so check that out tomorrow morning.
I've been told that adversity is the mother of innovation. And we are experiencing adversity now, and all these things are being innovated. All these new things come into life and that we're experimenting with. And so that's fun that this has driven us. We didn't have live stream. We didn't have a lot of these at-home opportunities before that. And now we're figuring those things out. So well, your team has been very creative, and I'm so grateful
we're
for
trying.
All that.
We're trying.
Yeah, you're doing great. Some of you have been asking, well, what happens after Easter? Because Easter is the final week in a 14-week series called A Tale of Two Kingdoms that we've been studying the kingdom of God together. And many of you are in small groups that have been discussing that material and have continued to do that over Zoom. So you've asked, you know, what's next? We want to let you know, we'll let you know more next week, but we want to let you know that we've put together a series on the Psalms, a six-week series from Easter until the summertime on the Psalms, in which we'll be preaching from the Psalms, and then also there'll be small group material for your groups. The Psalms really strike us as being gritty, real, raw, and with a diversity of emotion. There's songs of laments, songs of praise, songs of struggle, and it just feels like appropriate for now. So we're calling it Psalms for Now, Psalms that we need to be singing and thinking about and studying right now where we are in this current crisis. So we hope that you'll join us. You're pumped about the Psalms, right?
Super excited.
That's,
can you tell?
Yeah. Awesome. I want to now lead us in a time of prayer. And so if you'll join me, first I want to make you aware of a couple of things. One is that we just received word this morning. Linda Wilson has been struggling with cancer, battling cancer for some time, and was placed on hospice this week. And we've just heard this morning that she has passed and gone to be with her Savior. And so we're praying for Linda Wilson's family, for Don, her husband, and for all those that know and love her. And so we're praying for Linda. In addition to that, we do have two members of our congregation that have tested positive for coronavirus, and we've kind of mentioned that a few times, Mitch and Marty Stovall. And they have been in Baptist South this week. And we got this picture. They celebrated their anniversary this week. They're in the hospital, and they were able to be wheeled together and have a moment together. And we are hearing some encouraging news that we heard that Marty's actually been able to sit up in a chair, that they're both eating better, and we're seeing signs of improvement. And we just want to keep on praying for Mitch and Marty Stovall. I think it really brings it home when we have members of our own church that have contracted this virus. It makes it feel all the more real, and so let's be praying for them. So I hope you'll join me as we pray. Lord God, we just pray for healing for our world. Lord, we just pray that you would heal our sick world, that you would just drive away this coronavirus, Lord, make it a thing of the past. Lord, we just want to pray right now for Mitch and Marty, that they would recover, Lord, that their lungs would clear, that they would have energy, and that they would just be fully recovered from this coronavirus. We pray that for everyone that is struggling with this disease. Lord, we just pray for healing. Lord, we also want to lift up Linda Wilson's family. We thank you for her life, for her beautiful singing voice, and just the way that she blessed so many. We just thank you for her life and ask your blessing on her family. Lord, we just pray for all those who are fighting the virus. We think of hospital workers. We think of nurses and doctors in our congregation that are on the front lines. And we pray for them to be safe from the virus. We pray that they would just be able to be a huge blessing, Lord. Lord, we pray for those in our community that are very vulnerable, that have underlying conditions or whatever it may be. We just pray that you would protect them from the virus as well. Lord, for everyone who's sheltering at home, Lord, this new order that's come to Florida and so many people are just staying in their homes, we just pray your blessing. We pray that the homes, that our homes would be a place of life, God, that they'd be a place of rejuvenation. We pray against the frustration that happens from being cooped up. We pray that it would just be a time of families getting to know each other better and deepening relationships and playing board games and praying together and just... We just pray for an intimacy in each of our families and our households, Lord, that this time would cause that to grow. Lord, we think of teachers that are struggling to teach through the internet and through new technology, and students and parents on the other side struggling to make that work. We just pray for that you would just empower them, Lord Jesus. Lord, this Holy Week, we pray that you would help us to truly celebrate you, and even as we experience some loss, Lord, on behalf of others, as we stay home so that other people can be well, Lord, we pray that you would remind us of the loss and the sacrifice of Jesus, who gave his own life and sacrificed his own freedom so other people could be made well. Lord God, we pray that you would just speak to us this Holy Week, and may we be able to walk this path with you and celebrate your resurrection on Easter. Lord, as Jen preaches to us, we pray that you would just speak to her, that you would speak through her and through the camera and through the internet into everyone's home, Lord, that we could hear from you and be challenged and changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Matt.
Jen, I pass on to you the wise words from my friend Leo in Ghana. Spit fire.
Spit fire. That sounds dangerous. It is good to be with all of you this morning. Wow, right? This week has been another week of change. And as I was thinking about it, it reminded me years ago of watching our oldest daughter learn how to surf. She was really young and wanted to learn how to surf. And it wasn't that the waves stopped coming in or that their intensity lessened, but with time, she got better and better at keeping her balance as those waves came. And as change happened this week, I felt like I was getting a little bit better at navigating change, at staying right side up and not losing my balance in the midst of it. This week, Monday, our family started our virtual school experience, and We were into it about 30 minutes when the whole district system crashed. Many of you were part of this. And so that was really exciting. It kind of continued through the week, but I was just grateful. Grateful for school, grateful for the teachers that were pouring into students' lives this week. Grateful that it wasn't my job to figure out how to solve the crashing internet problem. But it was change. And on Tuesday, we had our staff meeting and staff prayer time, and we did that over Zoom for the first time. So it was a practice that we have done before, but we were doing it in a new way. On Wednesday, we had just finalized our graphic for our drive-through Easter egg hunt that we were going to start today when the governor issued the stay-at-home order, and we figured, okay, we should stay at home, and that probably is not a good idea anymore. And so Thursday, we came up with a whole new plan for Easter that we talked about just a few minutes ago. Thursday also is when we got an email telling us that the graduations in our county, the in-person graduations, were going to be replaced by a virtual alternative, and we know that that was disappointing, a change that was disappointing for so many people. On Friday, with CDC recommended that we're now supposed to wear masks when we go out in public. That was a change. And then yesterday, Saturday, what I was supposed to be doing yesterday, what I was originally intending to spend the day before Palm Sunday doing, was to be spreading mulch with our high school students, part of our Mulch for Missions fundraiser. And instead, I was home, and I was spreading mulch in our own backyard by myself. And so it just struck me every day that there were changes and new things that were happening that were things that I hadn't planned for. It was a week of changes, but in a world that is constantly changing and life is always changing, one of the things that I think the church has to offer our world is the consistency of church seasons, this rhythm to life that we bring in the church calendar year that calls us back to root our faith in Christ, that reminds us and anchors us to our trust in God. And it's one of the things that we do as part of the Presbyterian Church that I love, that we celebrate this church calendar year that includes seasons like Advent and Christmas, Epiphany, and then we get to Lent and Holy Week and Easter. There's a day towards summer that's the day of Pentecost, and then there's all this span of time that we just call ordinary time. But it gives this rhythm, these seasons, to our year. So as our lives change, as circumstances change, these rhythms from year to year stay the same. And they call us back to the story of Christ. They call us back to our faith in a way that can help us stand firm, to stay grounded, to help us stay upright in the midst of change. The season that we're in now is a season called Lent, and we've been going through a sermon series called The Tale of Two Kingdoms, and we're going to bring in each week of the series, we've had a different symbol that's represented the theme, and so Jessica's going to come, and we're going to try to, I guess I'm going to stand up too. We're going to show you, this is the symbol for today. There's a lot going on back here, but this is, surprise, a palm branch for Palm Sunday. And so thank you, Jessica. That's the symbol that's hanging on our church wall. But since we're not in front of the sanctuary and the platform filming this, you won't see that. But that's the symbol for today. I think every year that I can remember, Palm Sunday was celebrated together. We would gather in church and worship, and we'd wave our palm fronds shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And so I loved the video that you got to see that we put together this week of some of the kids in our church waving their palm branches. That was put together by our early childhood director, Beth Hammond, and one of our college students, Molly Bias. And I love that we had those kids using those palm branches to call us back to this day, to call us back to the season that we're in, this day of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day that Jesus reminds us that he is in control. So the text for Palm Sunday actually can be found in all four Gospels. So if you read all of them, you get a little bit different versions, a little bit fewer different details that you can put together to create the story that we know. And so Jesus has just spent the night in Bethany, where his dear friends Lazarus and Mary and Martha live. And so he gets up and he's traveling now into Jerusalem with the disciples to celebrate the Passover. And so we're going to read today from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21. And so I invite you to read along our text with us this morning. Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. Now if anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd, this is BC, before Corona, the large crowd pressed in together. They spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Each year, I teach a class called Student Discovery, or our confirmation. And it's middle school and high school students who are on this journey where they're ready to dig deeper in exploring their faith. It covers a course of a year. And at the end of that time, students are able to join the church if they want to become members of our church. And one of the things that we do is we read through a gospel together. Because at the beginning of the class, most students have never read through a whole book of the Bible before. And so this is something that they accomplish. And we do this together. We actually go through the Gospel of Mark. And it's not because Mark is the best gospel, but Mark is the shortest gospel. And so it works really well for our timeline. And we read through the Gospel of Mark. And as they read chapter by chapter, students have to ask questions. They have to send me their questions, the things that they're confused by, the things that they wonder. And then we take those questions and we talk more and dig a little bit deeper into them during our class time together. And it's always interesting for me to see what the new questions are going to be. Because every year, there always are a few questions that have never been asked before. So it's fun, and I'm always interested to see what those are. But there also are the questions that I anticipate, the ones that I know are going to be asked because I've taught this class long enough to see them come year after year after year. And one of those questions had to do with Jesus' ministry. Because early in Jesus' ministry, we see several times in the Gospels where Jesus goes and he performs a miracle or he does something pretty amazing, and then he tells people to not go and tell anyone else what they've seen. And it's confusing, right? Because for most of us, we've grown up being told to go and share the good news, tell other people about Jesus. And here's Jesus telling people to not go and tell anyone. But there's a reason for that. Jesus clearly knows who he is. He clearly knows this mission that God has sent him to accomplish. And he knows that he needs to get around, to travel, to teach, and that if many people know what he's doing, those crowds will limit some of his mobility and freedom to get around. He also knows that not everybody is going to be excited about his mission, about the things that he's saying, and that the more people that know and hear and become aware of the people following him, the things that he's saying, that there will be opposition to that. And there will be people that want to stand and stop him in any way that they can. And so this is why Jesus tells them, you know, don't go and share with everyone what it is that you've seen. But when we arrive today to Palm Sunday, this day of Palm Sunday is different. Because Jesus wakes up and he heads into Jerusalem knowing that this is going to be for the last time. Jesus knows that it is finally time for him to confirm who he is, that he has accomplished the mission that God has sent him to accomplish. And Jesus is in full control. It's Jesus that stops along the way into the city and causes his group to pause. It's Jesus that gives these very specific instructions to his disciples to go into the city. He tells them where to go, what to look for, what to say and find and bring back. Jesus is control. He's in control, and he's paying attention to every detail so that what happens next will line up with the prophecy that will announce him as king. It's interesting, a couple interesting facts about Matthew in this story. Matthew is the only gospel that has two donkeys. And so if you think about it, if you're going to get a young donkey that's never been ridden before and try to lead him somewhere, it's going to be a whole lot easier if you have his mom with him. And so they get both donkeys, and they're bringing them back to Jesus. And it may seem like a strange request, you know, go and take someone else's donkey. But in the culture at that time, dignitaries and sometimes rabbis were included in that category. They could go and they could request to take possession of other people's things to use for their personal use. And so it probably wasn't that strange of a request that Jesus had. And so the disciples go and do exactly what he said, and this is what happens. The prophecy from Zechariah 9 is fulfilled. In Zechariah 9, it says, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." When Caesar would return from battle, he would come into the city riding a great horse, and there'd be a parade following him. So there would be Caesar, there would be warriors, soldiers, then people maybe that they had taken captive, and then all the things that they had plundered and taken and acquired during the battles, they would come in. And so this is very different, a different kind of entrance for a king. Instead of choosing an animal of war, Jesus chooses a donkey, which is an animal of peace. But he still gets this king's welcome. People come out and they put down their coats and they take palm branches and they wave. But it probably wasn't until later. They probably missed the significance in the moment, but later could realize that by entering on a donkey, Jesus was actually showing them really the kind of king that he was. We know that the people were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for someone that they wanted to come and rescue them from the powers of Rome. They wanted someone to come and topple the powers of government. And as Jesus entered the city, crowds gathered and they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And these weren't words that they made up. They actually come from Psalm 118. And so in Psalm 118, we have those words of Hosanna being shouted, and they actually mean, "Lord, save us." And one of my professors in college, Dale Bruner, who is a great theologian, said of this text that this is humanity's deepest prayer. Lord, save us. Jesus, save us. So we have the people who wanted a warrior king, for him to come and establish his kingdom now, and this kind of kingdom where there was power to confront Roman authority. But what they missed are the verses that come right before the Hosannas in Psalm 118. If you look right before, this is the verse. It says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So what the people thought they needed most was a king that would come and rescue them from Roman power. But what God knew was that what people really needed most was a king that would come and rescue them from death. That power would come to be realized, but it would be after this week where Jesus was rejected. On Palm Sunday, we see that Jesus was in control, and he remained in control through the week. He scripted the story of how he was going to enter Jerusalem and showed the kind of king that he was, but he also remained in control during the week as he turned over the merchant tables in the temple and as he confronted religious leaders and told them they were like whitewashed tombs, and as he took the Passover meal and he changed that to talk about his body and his blood and the meaning and significance that was going to come with his death. Jesus was in control through all of those things, and Jesus remained in control on the cross. when he willingly gave up his life so that we could be saved. On Palm Sunday, the people crowded around Jesus as he passed by, and they celebrated but didn't have any idea what the rest of the week was going to look like, that Jesus would be in a week that was full of suffering, that would end in death. But Jesus knew. Jesus was fully aware of what lie ahead for him in the days that would follow. And he willingly went to that place. He entered the suffering of our world in order to save it. So when we think about the seasons of the church year, it's interesting because a lot of time is spent around this week, Holy Week, around the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it's interesting because over the years, not all Christian traditions, not all Christian churches celebrate the church year, all the different seasons, but everyone celebrates Christmas and Easter, right? The celebration days. We want to celebrate Jesus' birth. We want to celebrate the resurrection. But not every church celebrates Lent, and not every church celebrates Holy Week because they're not as fun. It's not as fun to think about the suffering that came before Jesus' death. But we need this week that begins with Palm Sunday. We need this week to be reminded that we have a faith that can stand up in the midst of suffering and pain. Several years ago, long before coronavirus, there was a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor in New York, and this is what he said about this text, about Palm Sunday. He said, "Jesus came to teach us about the kind of faith that will sustain in the barren places, provide us guidance through the darkest of valleys, the kind of faith that will strengthen us when we are faced with what seems like overwhelming obstacles." I find it interesting that in this week of change, President Trump has said that the 2 or 3 weeks ahead of us are some of the most difficult that we will face as a nation together. And we step in to these weeks of difficulty. At the same time, these palm branches bring us back to our rhythm, bring us back to our faith, back to a week that was one of Jesus' most difficult in his ministry. Holy Week invites us to engage a faith that's strong enough to stand up in challenge, a faith that is strong enough to stand in suffering and in loss. And we need that kind of faith. We need that kind of faith that shows us how to cope when we're disappointed, how to handle life when things derail and it doesn't go the way that we planned or expected. Holy Week comes right alongside us in this yearly reminder that Jesus is in control. This week, I saw that picture of Mitch and Marty Stovall, the one that that Matt held up right before the prayer time, and just celebrated with them that moment that they got to be together again. And I also saw a video, many of you may have seen that this week, of another couple who in this time of the virus have been separated by a window. And we weren't able to show the video this morning, but this is something that you can look up later. John Klein, his wife Anne, has Alzheimer's and was in a nursing home. And at the point the nursing homes closed their doors to visitors, he continues to visit her, standing outside of her window, and they will sing songs together, songs that she's familiar with. And the video that I saw circulating the most this week was of them singing Amazing Grace together. But there was a second video, another video that I wanted to share with you this morning, where they're singing another song. They're singing that song that you learn when you're a kid that goes, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And they sing together, "We have the peace that passes understanding down in my heart." And I thought, what a profound song for this time. This, as we stand in Palm Sunday, the first day of this week that leads us into Holy Week, and then we know, because of where we're at now, we know what we get to celebrate next Sunday on Easter. This is the hope that lets us stand in this week of suffering, that lets us stand in the middle of a virus and say, "I have the peace that passes understanding down in my heart, down in my heart to stay." When we celebrated the new year a few months ago. When we celebrated the beginning of the year 2020, this is not the way it was supposed to be. When we as a church came together and we prayed that God would go with us into this new year, this isn't what any of us were really picturing. But we can come to Palm Sunday today and we can join those crowds that crowded around Jesus singing, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." And we should be coming to God. We should be coming and praying, "God, stop this virus. Help us. Save us." And at the same time that we're doing that, we can also be confident and know that God sees an even greater need. That God knows that our greatest need isn't to be rescued from the things that separate us here on this earth, but we need to be rescued from the things that separate us from God for eternity. God comes to save us from those things. That's the story we celebrate at Easter. That's the week that we are going to look at this week as we step together into Holy Week. Next week, we'll be able to worship together on Easter Sunday and we'll say, "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." But we can say that and we know the meaning it holds because of the understanding that we have of Jesus' suffering. And it's the hope that we have in Easter that we can come together this morning and share in communion. And so Matt is going to come and join us. And if you're at home, you can grab your bread or crackers or pita chips, whatever it is that you have, and you can get those out with the people you are worshiping with. When we share this meal together, we are remembering or being reminded of this meal that Jesus shared with his disciples during Holy Week, this time leading up to Easter, to his death. When Jesus was sharing the Passover meal with his friends, it was the night before his arrest. And while they were there at the table, after giving thanks, he took bread that was there and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take this and eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
We'll invite you to hold on to your bread and hold on to your juice until the end, and then we'll all take them together. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we thank you that you are the King that we need. And Lord God, we trust that right now you are present in our homes. Right where we are, you are our shelter. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you now to take and eat. Take and drink. Amen. We want to invite you now, wherever you are, to stand with us and let us continue to worship together through song.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Thank you. Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name.
So good to be able to worship with music again and have our band. We're so grateful for everyone making that work. I want to let you know we're going to be serving communion at our Monday-Thursday service, and so you can be prepared for that, not at Easter. So this week we'll be serving communion at Monday-Thursday, not at Easter. To celebrate Palm Sunday, we can't let this go without some waving of palm branches. And okay, don't tell Rosa I did this, but we got some perfect
we have a fake tree.
Perfect fake palms. And if you have palm branches at home or whatever, hey, would you repeat after me? Just you can yell it outside if you want, or right in your living room, repeat after me. Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Thank you. So I can hear one of you. Okay, Hosanna in the highest!
Hosanna in the highest!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!
God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us. Can you give us the benediction?
Yes. Let's go into this week knowing that God is fully in control. Go knowing the love of God, the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit today and every day. Go in peace.
Amen.